Welcome to The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. I've got to begin today with a language advisory. On today's show, I am going to say the words moist, impactful, and I might say irregardless. We will try to find out why we hate certain words. So that's coming up. There's also a word choice in our top story. Is the word diplomats or is it spies? I'm talking here about the White House shutting down the Russian consulate in Seattle. The State Department says there are intelligence agents working at the consulate, and they're too close to sensitive locations like Boeing plants and the U.S. Naval Base in Kitsap County. So here to help you understand this is Professor Don Hellman, a foreign policy expert at the Jackson School of International Studies at the University of Washington. I asked Hellman if he believes the State Department's explanation for why it's closing the Seattle consulate.
Geographically, that's accurate. But in terms of its function, I think that while that's true, I mean, it's hardly just an outpost to have an ear next to the military deployments and builders in the area where the Cold War is over. And that is of interest, obviously. But the role of a consulate is much broader than that. It's to be sure, establishing a presence that is proximate, if possible, to political and strategic institutions. But it basically, its job is to deal with visitors, the immigrant community that's here, and above all to economics, to trade involving, and of course, communication with Russia. And we're Russia does not have much trade with the United States at all, but Seattle is one of the places that does, and that's really its official job.
But the White House is suggesting that these, you can call them diplomats, but the White House regards them as intelligence agents or spies. Are there Russian spies in Seattle?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure that this has been known from the time the embassy was set up. We have our spies in not only Russia, but in other countries. And the practice of throwing them out when a red line is crossed diplomatically is very common. Britain already has done it. Obama did it in the last days of his presidency.
Well, do you think if they're spies in Seattle, do you think that they have been using their geographic proximity to Boeing and/or the naval base in Kitsap County?
I would expect they would have their ears flapping and their eyes open, not only regarding those military or military-related institutions, but also on technology. Because in the modern world, intelligence is increasingly intellectual property regarding the digital thing, and we are the Silicon Forest, if you want to put it that way. So yes, they did the other, but I stressing the military component of it, I think, is distorting a bit of what a consulate really does.
So if we assume that's true, why do we allow consulates in our cities? Do we just figure, well, that's the price of doing international trade and immigration, you got to have spies in your town?
Well, this is a practice that's gone on for a long time. We do it. Usually, particularly in embassies, the so-called military attachés is the title, invariably are intelligence operatives for, if not the CIA, the DIA, or some other intelligence agency, NSA, and so forth. It's a common practice that all countries, particularly great powers, do. And you expect that. I think they said 14 or so representatives to the United Nations from Russia were expelled. Mm. I mean, and so it's, you know, if you're here, you're there. Yes.
What effect does the closing of the Russian consulate in Seattle have, given that the San Francisco consulate also closed just several months ago in a diplomatic dispute with Russia?
I know this will not go sit well with the Seattle audience, but if they close the consulate as a consequence of this virtually unanimous passage of sanctions
over the Russian election meddling. That was the argument.
Russian meddling. We're a throwaway. I mean,
Seattle's a throwaway. What do you mean?
Well, it is symbolic, but it is not as costly. If they're willing to absorb the disruptive such as it is, effect of closing a consulate the size of San Francisco, closing the Seattle consulate is only marginally comparable.
That line's already been crossed.
That's been crossed, yes.
How big an inconvenience is it to Seattle area Russians and their families to not have a consulate in either Seattle or San Francisco?
Well, we do not have extensive investment or businesses here the way, for example, we do with China, which is an analogous. And so it will certainly curtail or inhibit, I think the right word is inhibit, expansion of business. It will inconvenience people who wish to return to Russia. I mean, you have to have a visa and so on. So I assume the visa thing is still here, but maybe not. It will not have a profound effect. It is symbolic. It's a pain. It's an inconvenience. And it's, I think the importance of doing it is, from our point of view, from the American point of view, is simply to send a signal that we're changing. I mean, that's the real significance.
Okay, well, let's talk about that significant signal then. Because as far as I know, this could just be diplomatic window dressing. It's a little dance. As you said, it's happened before. So I'd like to know from you, how does expelling 60 Russian diplomats / spies, how does that either punish or pressure Russia?
Well, I think what is interesting about this particular action, apart from the fact that we did it contrary to what the president has been saying to Putin, is that it was coordinated with many other countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were 11 European countries, none from Asia, but Eastern Europe as well as Canada did it as well. So it was clearly a multilateral gesture saying that what had happened in England, in Great Britain, was so severe and so out of step. I mean, it happened before. I mean, he poisoned another, he killed another individual earlier. And moreover, Putin has taken a very aggressive diplomatic and military posture in not only Syria, he's now proposing building a bridge between North Korea and Russia, and in various ways has in snuggling up to Iran. I mean, that's if Trump proceeds to end the agreement with Iran, which of course Russia is a signatory, this will not only probably set off Iran to do what they want to do, which is probably develop enriched uranium in particular, but it will strengthen the hand of the Russians there. And now, I assume this multilateral gesture is signaling that everybody in Europe, in particular, is in Ukraine even jumped in. But all of this is very, you know, they sent one diplomat or three diplomats or four diplomats. It's not anywhere near as comprehensive or as important as what the United States did. But it nevertheless was multilateral, and it's a signal to Putin that he's crossed the red line. And
well, what is that red line? What's the harm to Russia?
Well,
to nothing, have to lose,
there, is
to lose
no, there is no tangible harm except symbolic. I mean, a Russian ambassador has to have a press conference saying this is counterproductive and inconsistent with the White House. And these other countries, it's unclear as to what subsequent measures will be taken either by Russia or by them. My guess is the Russians will clearly respond in one way or another, and they can do so in Europe primarily because so much of Europe is dependent on energy, gas in particular, that comes from Russia. And so they're a little softer on it, but nevertheless, they're sending a signal. And what's amazing about this is that the costs to them, or the potential costs to them, are significantly greater than they are to the United States because of their economic dependence on energy from Russia and other connections as well.
But if this is the expelling diplomats, if it's symbolic, then why would Russia go from that to an escalation like withholding their natural gas.
Because it's an issue of sovereignty. I mean, Putin is a nationalist. And I mean, he's got an economy the size of Italy. He can still blow the world up nuclearly, of course. And he's projecting military power in Syria and in other parts of the Middle East that are great power stuff. I mean, it's openly defined. Now, he's got certain troubles. Assad is behaving independently of him. It's Russian nationalism. You can't be insulted politically. Putin is trading on his capacity to quite successful to outmaneuver us, despite the fact he has resources that are in no way commensurate with those of the United States or even Western Europe or China.
But Vladimir Putin, who just got quote unquote reelected by landslide, right? He cares whether does the average Russian citizen care whether or no that that some countries expelled some Russian diplomats? And boy, they're really going to hold Putin's feet to the fire for that.
Well, they're not going to hold Putin's feet to the fire, but Putin has traded on the idea that the West is against us in the Ukraine, because Crimea, obviously, and so on. And part of his nationalist appeal is to use this. Now, this is not universal. I mean, the election was obviously fixed, but it does have appeal to a significant proportion of the Russian population. And of course, by controlling information flows, he assures that and how the election is held, that is expressed. And so this is really a reinforcement of what he's already been doing.
Okay, so finally, and this is conjecture, but Professor, do you expect that we're going to look back at this moment, the closing of the Russian consulate in Seattle, the expulsion of diplomats by all these different countries, including President Trump, do you expect we'll look back at this as having been some kind of turning point, some kind of significant development, or will it be a piece of trivia that, oh, yeah, there was some diplomatic tit for tat back in the 2018s?
This is conjecture on my part, as you imply, but the dramatic shift in American policy is also correlated with a dramatic shift in who is whispering in the ear of the president about foreign policy. Both Pompeo and now John Bolton are anti-Russian.
The new national security advisor.
Yes, and they're both anti-Russian and have opinions quite contrary to what the president has expressed to Putin. The so-called Russian investigation on their participation in our rigging, trying to rig our election of 2016, there's unanimous agreement among our intelligence agencies that they did this and that this is utterly unacceptable. Moreover, the Russians are doing it in France and they apparently did it in Brexit and so on. So the answer to your question is maybe the appointment of these new group people to be close to the president on foreign policy, who have opinions quite different from his, was a contributing factor. It may have been, as you implicitly suggest, a threshold that what Putin is doing, which is literally unbound. Now, he doesn't care. I mean, we killed 200 Russians mercenaries in Syria just about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, that the gas, you know, Assad is using gas and so on and so forth, even though he's an ally of Russia. So his behavior, and symbolized most importantly by, of course, the attempt to kill these former Russian citizens in London, really has gone so far that it may actually have created a threshold, and we'll see. It'll depend on many things, unfortunately, both how we deal with North Korea, and how we deal with Iran. And it will be derivative from those events as much as it will be from our policy decisions.
Don Hellman is a professor emeritus at the Jackson School, an expert on foreign policy, Russia, East Asia. Professor, thanks a lot for this.
My pleasure.